The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's reading is not the kind of text that Lutherans like if they have to preach it. It's all exhortation. The apostle urging his disciple Timothy to fight the good fight of faith until the second coming of Jesus. Now, there's nothing wrong with the message. Quite the contrary. These days demand that leaders of the church fight that good fight. And so admonitions to that end are always timely. We need voices that are faithful in the midst of a decadent and disagreeable world. We need people who won't succumb to the financial, legal, social kinds of pressures designed to mute the Christian witness. We need martyrs, or at least those willing to become martyrs. So the challenge of the text is not the propriety of the message, not at all. The challenge lies in doing it. Where do we find the strength of character? Where do we find the internal fortitude to open our mouths, the courage to confront the critic, the bravery to speak when worldly wisdom would advise silence? How can we ever do what this text is telling us to do? So, one approach, and very natural to Lutheran preachers, among whom I number myself, is simply to take these admonitions as law. Law that shows us our failure to confess, to fight, to stand up for Jesus, and in this way demonstrates our ongoing need for Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that approach. After all, it's true. Just think, for example, of how quiet Christians have become in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision to mandate marriages consisting of immoral sexual relationships. Now, I know at first there was a flurry of outrage from the opponents, but how many have followed up with deeds? Almost without exception, we have simply acquiesced. I mean, how many county clerks have refused to go along? By my count, just one. How many bakers, how many florists have refused to participate? How many military chaplains have said no? Of course, the social acceptance of sodomy and other immoral sexual practices is just one example among many that characterize our society, regarding which most of us are just shrugging our shoulders instead of speaking out. So the apostle's admonition to fight the good fight of faith rings a bit hollow when Christians continue to live comfortably and silently in a society that rejects their Lord. Thus, we can always use the law, whether in the form of the Ten Commandments or apostolic admonitions, to show sin and the need for Christ. It's true, the law always accuses. But if that's all that we're doing with a text like this morning's reading, are we really being fair to the intention of St. Paul, not to mention the Holy Spirit? I mean, after all, doesn't the apostle really mean it? when he urges Timothy to pursue virtues, avoid vices, and fight the good fight of faith. And isn't he speaking the truth when he reminds Timothy of how he, Timothy, once made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses? You see, God really does want his people not only to sorrow over their sins, not only to repent of their sins, but also to respond to God's forgiveness with a good confession. Remember what Jesus himself said, "Whosoever will confess me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever will deny me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Confessing the faith is not optional, but necessary. Confessing the faith is an essential part of what it means to be Christian. And the gospel of God's forgiveness must never become our excuse for not obeying this or any other admonition to confess Jesus, not even when there is a cost to making such confession. And there is a cost. Let's not kid ourselves. It's one thing to confess Christ here in the chapel, at the seminary, among friends. In fact, if you think about it, it might be more difficult for us not to confess Christ, or at least not to pretend to. But out there, where everybody's not a Christian, and where there are real consequences, social, financial, and in many parts of the globe, consequences for life and death, well, in such a world and in such circumstances, not everybody wants to be a witness. Not everybody wants to confess. So the apostle adds a bit of encouragement to his exhortation. First of all, by reminding Timothy of what our Lord himself has done, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. Now, our Lord didn't say a whole lot before the Roman governor, but he did say, "Count it." And he refused to say what could have gotten him off. Instead, he acknowledged his kingship and accepted the consequences, unjust though they were. And our Lord's good confession concluded in his death, even death upon the cross. Now, we need to remember that. After all, where our Lord has first gone, well, can we hesitate to follow his lead? But there's more to Paul's encouragement. He also reminds Timothy to look forward to what is coming, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring this wretched, evil world to an end. For the fight of faith is not on behalf of some kind of social structure. It's not on behalf of some kind of ethical system. It's not on behalf of a world view. It's a fight against evil on behalf of God. God, the ultimate sovereign. God, the King of Kings. God, the Lord of Lords. God, who alone has immortality. God, who dwells in an unapproachable light. God. While we may not be able to approach him, he has approached us in Jesus Christ. This God has called us into his church, and this God is the one who sends us out now to fight the good fight of faith and make a good confession. This God. Now, can we say no to God? Of course not. His fight is our fight. And our confession, like Timothy's, is one that we make in view of his second coming, the return of Jesus. Well, yes, we are sinners. And yes, our confession too often falls short of the mark. But by the grace of God and by the power of the Spirit, we will confess and we will fight. This is what Timothy did. It's what Paul did. And it is what our good friend and colleague Charles Evanson has done and is still doing today. For God in his goodness did not quit giving us witnesses to the faith, making a good confession in the first century. But throughout the history of the church, he has continued to bless his church with people like Pastor Evanson, and who know what it means to confess in both ways. Both ways. To confess themselves as sinners in need of a Savior, and to confess the fact that they have found that Savior in Jesus. So we thank our Heavenly Father for Pastor Evanson and for all those who write to this very day are making the good confession and fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.